It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 467 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast, the first of 2021. Thanks so much for listening. This week it's the return of Jay Magnum from the great Astral series of original graphic novels. He's hard at work on the third, Astral Alliance. We talk about the progress he's making and about what projects he has coming up in the near future as well. We also get into the industry some and talk about what we can expect from him in 2021. So I'm sure you're going to enjoy what he has to say. There's a lot to get to in this episode. So let's kick off 2021 right now. It's great to welcome back to the podcast Jay Magnum, the creator of such good things as Astral Genesis and Astral Evolution and a whole series of great graphic novels that are available right now, many other good things. How are you doing, Jay?
Yeah, really good, Wayne. Thanks for having me back on the podcast. It's great to be here, and it's great to be talking once again to your listeners.
Well, it's good to talk with you, as always, because I enjoy your books. And we want to start out, there's a very important thing to let people know. If you go to astralgenesis.com, there's a red button that there that actually says, click here to get a free copy of the award winner Astral Genesis now. If you go there and you click on that button, you can download a digital version of Astral Genesis, the very first. And if you need to take a break from listening to this, we understand. Go ahead and read that so you'll know a little bit better about what we're talking about. But if you're ready, we'll dive right in anyway and start talking about it. In case somebody doesn't know, talk about what Astral Genesis is.
Okay, sure. And the reason that we give folks a chance to head over to astralgenesis.com and click that big red button under the scroller and download that free copy is in case we get into spoilers here on the podcast, we want to give everyone an opportunity just to stop it and go read the book if they want on their own and then come back. And that way, you know, you're not spoiled. So, but yeah, talking about the story. So yeah, Astral Genesis is a sci-fi action graphic novel. It's the first in the series of actually three going on four so far. The first two books are already out. That's Astral Genesis and Astral Evolution. And our third book is in process right now as of January, and we expect that to be out in digital form in the first quarter of 2021. Happy New Year to everyone who may be listening to this in January. And the print copies should be available sometime in the second quarter of 2021. So that's the third book. And I'm in the process of writing the fourth adventure right now. So back to your original question, Wayne, I just want to do a short intro just so everybody kind of knew, set a point of reference, you know, what we're talking about here. It's all relative, right? So Astral Genesis is the first book in the series. It's, like I said, sci-fi action graphic novel, 120 pages of content with some bonus content at the back. And it's about kind of a ragtag band of misfits that have to somehow get together and learn how to work together to repel an alien attack. And the attackers, the malevolent aliens, are called Astrals. And so what we find out in the book, not giving too much away here, but one of the ragtag band of misfits, at least at the beginning unknowingly, is one of the Astrals. So that's kind of the twist on it. So the Astrals are the bad guys, and we have one of the bad guys, or maybe I should say bad girl, is part of the ragtag team that's trying to stop them.
I love the strong female character. I'm big on strong female leads and other characters too. She's a lot of fun. She is badass in the pure sense of the word, which I like on many levels. And so she's just a great character. And I like the people around her too. We talked about this the last time you and I discussed this. There's a lot of great characters in this series, and I just enjoy them and reading them. So it's just a lot of great stuff going on. I think you've done a great job of crafting a great sci-fi story that's a lot of action and adventure and great characters. So I think you're to be congratulated on that. And one of the ways you get recognized for doing that is winning awards. And if you go to astralgenesis.com, there's a flashing banner that goes by. And when you get to the level that talks about Astral Genesis, you can see on the cover there's like five awards or finalists or even in the running or something. Do you want to talk about that? How did Astral Genesis do? I mean, which awards – I'm sure we should pay attention to all of them. But what happened with those awards? What was going – how did you get those?
Right, sure. So – both books that are out right now, both Genesis and Evolution, have won several independent book awards. These contests are mainly for books, not so much for individual comic issues. And I should say that's one of the benefits of writing these graphic novels. One of the things I like about it so much, and one of the things that the fans have let me know at the conventions and when I meet them, what they like about it so much is that each one of these graphic novels is essentially about six comic books worth of content. So it's not unlike a trade paperback that you might get from Marvel or DC, and it contains, a full story arc, start to finish, although there are some story threads that permutate, between each of the books. There are threads that span the entire series, and then, of course, each story has a beginning, a middle, and an end. So there's a benefit to having it in book form, right? Because these contests for independent press are probably something like better than 95% or 98% prose. So they do have sections and categories for comics and illustrated books, graphic novels. And so I, of course, with great respect to the people that worked on these, my art team and my editor, I entered both books in separate years into these contests, and we did win the Independent Press Award with Astral Genesis. We did also win the American Fiction Awards with Genesis. We also won the Reader's Favorite Award for Astral Genesis, and that was an illustration-related award. And then for Next Generation Indie Book Awards, we finalisted that one. And for the National Indie Excellence Awards, we also finalisted that one. So once again, several awards for Genesis. And then the next year, Evolution, much repeated the same thing. I believe we also, on that one, we won the Independent Press Award. And then the other ones were like a mix of winning and finalisting the other contests that I just talked about for the sake of brevity. So both of the books have several awards on them. And like I said, it really is a testament to the team that worked on them. I'm very proud of the team. I think that they deserve to be recognized for the hard work that they put into it. And I also think that the contests recognize all the work that we put into it, from a content perspective, not just the illustrations, but, I'm the writer, creator, producer, storyteller, so I get to create the stories. And the thing that sets the Astral series apart from other comic series is that it's very much relatable and character based. And I think you touched on that before a little bit, Wayne. The characters are very deep. They're very well fleshed out. They live in their own universe. The universe has rules, and the story takes place in the near future. So it's not the far distant future where you have to learn a whole bunch of new terms and planets and things to understand anything. It starts off being very much Earth based. And so just about anybody can jump into it and feel comfortable and warm up to the characters and relate. And I think that's one of the reasons that we've done so well with the awards.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really enjoy it. Two of the things I like about it is there's character growth going on, and there's also mystery involved with some of the things we get to learn a little bit about them. We don't know everything when it starts out, but as things go along, we learn about the characters. And I like that, because I don't know everything about my coworkers and stuff, like when I worked in an office and things like that. And so as time went along, we learn about each other and stuff like that. And I think that's the way this is. We get to learn about these characters, and we get to understand when they're faced with danger and stuff like that, how they react and what the skills they have available to them. We don't know everything about them all at the beginning, but as we go along, we get to know them. And I think that makes it a very realistic thing. That's one of the great realistic things about these books, is that. And even in a science fiction setting like this, we get a chance to understand the characters better. And I always feel the more human the characters are, the better we are to relate to them. And I think that that's one of the strengths of your books. And I just think that's, when I started reading comics, when the Justice League, of America, way back in the Gardner Fox days, to how old I am. And I would read those books and everybody was interchangeable. If you took Batman's costume and put them on Superman, they often did. Basically, it was the same person. It was just the powers that were different. But, that was back in the 60s, and that's the way people looked at things. But now we want realistic people that we can understand and relate to. And I think that your books are a great example of how to do that.
Oh, yeah, thanks. I appreciate you saying that. And, it's true. A lot of the attraction, I think, of our fans to these books and this series is that interpersonal relationship you're talking about between the characters. And, starting off, some of that is built in. And here's where I start to go into spoiler territory. So, like I said, go download those books and download Genesis and read it. But, as we start off, our leading man, John Devane, he in the story starts off, with having a previous relationship with our sciencey chick, who is her name is Jeannie Lewis. So they sort of have a past, they're exes now, so they've had a kind of a rocky romantic past. And also of note, Jeannie has a tenuous relationship with her daughter, who has kind of gone the opposite way than her mom, and she's kind of into the goth kind of stuff and the punk rock stuff. So they have an interesting relationship there. And before you mentioned our leading lady, that's Lila. She's a half astral, half human, enhanced hybrid. And so she has superhuman strength and a few other surprises. And about Lila, she starts off kind of, coming out, not knowing anything about humanity or people or relationships or anything. And it's how she starts off interacting with the characters and learning how human relationships work. And so there's a lot of exploration there. And also, then we have another character who's sort of our, I don't know what you would call him, maybe in D&D, it's like your thief, the kid who kind of flies under the radar and can, break into any computer system, computer hacker, and he's a thief and all this other good stuff, and wanted by the government. And so he's kind of working on a clandestine level. And, so his relationship with the team is also somewhat tenuous, and his background is, he comes from Russia. So he has an interesting perspective on, the United States and the way the culture works in the United States. So in what I think a big appeal of all this is that because the characters are so different and so well fleshed out and have such interesting backgrounds and have such interesting ways of interacting with one another is I get to pepper the script with a lot of humor. So that's the other factor to all this, is it's very funny. I love writing the jokes. I love writing the interactions and the banter between the characters, and it's very funny. And so, we're dealing with, pretty heavy concepts here, right? Alien invasion, alien attack, people could be dying, on a large scale and stuff. And it there's a lot of gravity there, right, with a plot like that. So the way you lighten it up is with a little bit of humor. And so that's what I like to do with these characters is through their interactions, we get into a lot of exploring of the human condition, but we also, it's fertile ground for jokes and humor. So I hope you appreciated that part of it as well.
believe me, I appreciate it because I was part of a Star Trek group, and there was one guy who loved nothing better than throwing out bad jokes all the time. And we started to write stories about ourselves as if we were a Star Trek ship. And the hardest person to write was him, because I couldn't write those bad jokes the way that he would do it. And we actually ended up employing him and saying, now, what joke would you say at this point? And he would throw the bad joke in there, and say, okay, that works. So I'm not good at humor. I appreciate it. And I read it and I enjoy it. And I thought you did a beautiful job of it, but I wouldn't be able to do that. So all I can do is admire that kind of talent.
It's a lot of fun putting the characters into these different mixes, and then the humor kind of naturally springs out of it. So that's how it works for me when I'm writing these things. Like, for example, just right now, you know, I'm into writing the fourth book. And so, like I said, first one, Genesis, second one, Evolution, third one is Astral Alliance. We just did a Kickstarter in 2020 at the end of that for it. And then, so that one's just about finished on the production. So I'm heavy into writing on the fourth graphic novel, which is called Astral Vengeance. And so as I'm writing this thing, you know, throwing the characters together, you throw different characters into the mix. And I love it because, you know, the humor just seems to flow so naturally from it. It's just a lot of fun.
Do you know how many volumes you're going to have in this story?
Well, the short answer to that is as many as we can afford to make. Okay. But no, it is planned. No, that's a good question. So I don't know. I think we might have said this in the previous podcast, but I'm sort of following the Lucas model in that I think trilogies are a good structure to use. So right now in my head, I've got three trilogies planned out with the possibility potentially for more. It just depends on how much people love it, how much people want. Obviously, we have the first trilogy is essentially complete at this point. The book will be out in the first half of 2021 in digital and print form. So that'll complete that first trilogy. And then there's 4, 5, and 6. And so I'm working on 4 right now. And then 5 and 6 are being planned. And then I've got a loose outline for 7, 8, 9. And, you know, we can go beyond that. But so we're approaching sort of the halfway mark for what I had plotted out of my head. I guess halfway through book 5 would be technically halfway through the entire thing, but we're getting there and people really seem to enjoy it. So, and let me just say one other thing, if I could, it helps to manage the story arcs too. Cause again, you have story and character arcs that span individual graphic novels, start to finish. And then, you know, you have longer arcs that span the trilogy, right? So they're incepted in the first or second book of the trilogy and concluded at the end of the trilogy. And then there are some arcs that span the entire series. So there are some arcs that might start off in Genesis and Evolution and aren't resolved until episodes 5 and 6, or maybe even 7, 8, 9. So we have the whole thing. It takes a lot to keep it all managed, but I think I'm doing a pretty good job so far.
Well, you know, that's good writing, because we've been watching The Practice. We started watching it again, and it was interesting in the first couple episodes, some of the stories that they started there that didn't really roll out until second, third season of the show. And I'm always I love that when that happens, because I always compare it to like driving. If you get in the car and you drive and you just sort of wander around, I mean, sometimes that's fun, but you usually want to go somewhere when you're driving. There's a purpose to it. And with writing, I feel the same way. If somebody knows what they're doing and you can tell that, it's much more fun to let you drive than it is to sort of meander around and say, oh, there's something over there. And oh, there's, you know, I like that in the way that you do that. We can tell that you have a destination in mind. And I think that's a big, it really makes us comfortable to let you drive, like I said. And I just think that's one of the strengths of the stories too, is that ability for you to take us places.
Well, sure. Yeah. And I mean, like I said, I have a lot of fun doing it. And I would just encourage everyone that likes Astral and likes the books, you know, support us. And I would, you know, by buying the books. But I would say that in a more general sense for all indie productions, right? There's certainly a lot of high quality indie productions out there. I've certainly supported a bunch of them. The sales for the indie titles are really important to us, because us indie creators, we don't have the multi-billion-dollar marketing budgets that the DCs and the Marvels have. And even if you had a team of indie folks that were all just contributing one thing or another, like, you know, one person contributes line art, one person contributes the coloring, another person contributes the lettering, and then maybe you have another person that contributes putting the whole thing together, you know, the production aspect of it. Even if everyone is volunteering their time, there's still substantial costs in producing these things, like, you know, for example, printing the books. I mean, especially if you're talking about graphic novels that are 300 pages or whatever. That's not cheap. I mean, it's they get up there. So, you know, I would just say just a plea to everyone who's listening to support your local indie creators, because we can certainly all use the support. And that's one good way to keep these stories coming and to help keep us independent so that we don't have to, you know, go after the big shops. And of course, you go after the big shops, you get their logo put on your books, and all of a sudden, what happens, right? You're subject to their editorial control, right? So in some way, they may decide to affect or alter your story. And I remember, trying to remember back, I'm pretty sure I saw in a documentary somewhere that while Star Wars, for example, was being made in 1977, that in some aspects, you know, George Lucas was doing it very independently, but that, you know, the studio, you know, had some concerns, but he fought off, you know, a lot of the meddling that they wanted to do. And I think the end result, I think we all agree, was definitely worth it. It's the same way for indie creators, whether it's comic books, graphic novels, you want to stay independent. And so for all the listeners out there, you know, the more you can help support us indie creators, the better quality I think you're going to get, better quality of stories and books. And we certainly appreciate all your support. So the people who have purchased Astro Books, I just wanted to say thank you very much. We really appreciate your support. It's very important.
Yeah, I bought the first issue, first volume. I don't remember which one it was, because I've seen you at several conventions and stuff like that, and I got that. Now, having said that, how do people get your books? What's the way for them to go out and buy, let's not only the trade paperback, I'm sure you can get digital versions as well. How do they do that beside the Kickstarter?
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, so again, it's all back to that that thing that we talked about earlier. It's the same method that you would go about to download the free copy of the free digital copy of Genesis. Go to astrogenesis.com, but instead of clicking on the big red button to get your free book, there is a menu option in the main menu of the site just under the logo that says Buy Books. So if you click on that, you go to our merchant site, and that's got all the permutations of all the books listed there, and you can pick them up there, whether it's digital or physical books. And of course, I probably should mention at this point, since we're talking about it, we have a lot of variant covers, alternate covers available as well by popular and upcoming and even established artists like Bill McKay and Jerry Ordway come to mind right off the bat. Although we've had some great homage covers done by Bill Walco as well. And Ryan Kincaid's another really popular artist. So you can pick up those variant covers on the site as well. And these books, the physical books, they do come in soft cover and hard cover. So like I said, there's a lot of choices out there. So I'm sure there's something for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's see. The order is Astro Genesis. And the second one is?
You just click on Buy Books.
Yeah, I know, but I'm trying to remember the sequence they come in. It's Astro Genesis.
Oh, the reading order. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
So the reading order is Genesis is first. Just think of it. You know, Genesis, obviously, the first book of the Bible, so that's easy to remember. That's the first one. Second one is the only other one that's currently on the market right now, which is Evolution. And then we have Alliance as the third book. And then if anyone's listening to this late, we may, depending on when you're listening to it, we may have Astro Vengeance out. That's the fourth one. So they go in that order. And what I'll do, because I think you're right, Wayne. I think it could get confusing to people. So what I'll do is, like in the, I don't know, maybe in one of the front pages of the book, maybe where like the copyright info is, I'll put like a reading order so that if you're collecting multiple books, you're kind of reminded. But then also on the physical books, on the spines, they're also numbered on there too. So it's on the spine.
Because, you know, there are some book series that it's hard to keep track of. I literally have gotten like, gosh, which order am I supposed to read these in? And it's, you know, for sometimes indie books do that, like for example, Trekker is a good example of that.
Yeah.
When I interview Ron, I'm Ron Randall, who does them, I always have to say to him, how do you keep track of what order it's supposed to be? Because I want to read them in order, you know, I don't want to read them out of sequence. And sometimes his are a little harder to follow, but he actually smartly put out like a little poster that shows the order that they all come in. So I said, oh, good. I said, if I ever want to sit down and read him again, because I've got all of his books, because I really like
them. Yeah. Actually, I think I saw that. And then I saw also, kind of like what I just said, I noticed that on his later books, which I'm a fan of, I've got Ron Randall's books. I've got Trekker, you know, I've got several of them. I'm not sure if I have them all, because I think at the beginning, wasn't he doing comic books and then he collected them into like a larger volume or something, mm-hmm. something like that. But anyway, on his later books, on one of the first pages, it's like on the opposite page, he's got, here's all the Trekker adventures and here they are in order. Yeah. So he's got that. So yeah, I think it would be important to map that out for sure.
It's daunting. You know, I will often, if I can't read the first issue, I will hold on the reading until I get that first issue. If I get it digitally, right, or something.
Same here.
Cause I don't want to read something and not understand what's going on. So I will do that. That's why I'm a big stickler on this. And I know some people get mad at me, but the truth of it is I want to read them in sequence. I want to know what's going on. And so that's why I'm asking that, because I want people to be able to say, okay, this is the sequence they go in. This is what I want to get first, second, and third. And this is what I want to make sure I've got in order to be able to read it all. So I know too many people who are like me, and I don't want you to lose the business because people are looking and go, I don't know what to do. I'd rather they know. That's my thing.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, it's interesting you should mention that. The way I set out to do it, you could potentially pick up. Okay, so the second book is Evolution. If you pick up Genesis and start reading from there, obviously you're not going to have any problems. But the way I designed the intro to Evolution, you could pick that book up first and start reading it without reading Genesis. I mean, obviously, Genesis is going to give you all the context into the universe, the Astroverse, right? Of course, and it's going to give you more information into the characters and a little more depth into that. In Evolution, we just kind of pick it up and start moving, and you know, there's less introduction to the characters, although there is some, right? So it is possible, I believe, to pick up Evolution, the second book, and start reading from there. But it will definitely help to fill in, you know, some of the gaps by going back after that and reading Genesis. And then you go, oh, okay, I have a little more context behind it. But it would certainly be possible. You could pick up Evolution and start reading Evolution to Alliance to Vengeance, and everything would still make sense. I think there's enough reference material, you know, the way we set up the characters and the story in the second one in Evolution, that you could certainly start there without much trouble. That's why until we got to the third book and the fourth book, I wasn't giving a whole lot of thought into let's publish an established reading order for these things. But mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, really it's set up so you could start with either one and you'd probably still be okay. You would be able to make sense of it and understand everything that's going on if you started with book two.
I'm sure. It's just that I people call me a grammar Nazi because but I'm also a sequence Nazi. I want to read things in order that way, and I know too many people like that, to be honest. But something that I'm interested in too that I've noticed is that, because I have the trade paperbacks, but I noticed you're still selling hardcovers of like Genesis and stuff like that. I'm going to have to, because I enjoy the book so much, I might have to go back and get the hardcovers because I like to have that. And I tell you why. There is a book, an indie book that I really love called Star Power.
Oh, yeah, and yeah. Garth Graham.
Yeah.
And, you know, we mentioned some of those variant covers before. Yeah, one of the variant covers for Genesis is done by Garth Graham, so I'm well familiar with his stuff. But, yeah, go ahead.
my experience, though, was I got to the game late. And I ended up buying trades, and I loved the story so much I wanted to go back and get the hardcovers. And so I waited a while, and I kept seeing the creator and the writer, the artist and the writer, I should say. I'd see them at cons, and I'd say, don't you have any hardcovers of the first one? Oh, no. We sold all of those out. And I said, well, how can I get them? Oh, no, people don't sell them. They really they're going to keep them. Because, you know, they like them so much. And I said, but how am I going to get one if you're not going to do any more? And it's not, I want the hardcovers, but how am I going to do that? And so they said, well, you know, you just have to kind of keep your ear to the ground. And I've been doing that now for over a year, and I haven't found one yet. And so I now I'm determined if I want to get a hardcover, I better jump in early because I've got all the rest of the hardcovers for Star Power. I don't have the first. And that drives me crazy because I want to get the hardcover. So I, to this day, I have it set up on eBay. I have it set up on a whole bunch of other places. I contacted their store, and their store doesn't have them. And I just, So I see you've got hardcovers, and I'm going to have to you sell the hardcovers during the Kickstarters, or pretty much we need to go through your store.
No. We've got the hardcover variants on the Kickstarter. So when we do the next one, which would be for Astral Vengeance, and I don't believe that one's going to be in 2021 because we're going to be deep into production on 2021. If anything, the next Kickstarter we're looking at is probably 2022. But the hardcovers are still available through the Astral Genesis Buy Books, you know, menu. Go to the merchant site. They're still there. So you can get the hardcovers on the Shop Pet Piranha website. Pet Piranha is our company. But yeah, it's interesting you should mention that because that's true. That's absolutely true. You know, let's see. How long has Genesis been out now? So it's been out for a couple of years, and we've moved a lot of hardcovers, especially, I got to tell you, Wayne, at the conventions. I mean, it's like you wouldn't think, because the hardcovers, you know, relative to, you know, comic issues and even to the paperbacks, you know, they can get kind of pricey, you know? I mean, you see, I mean, I'm not talking about just my own. I mean, I've seen some, colleagues, you know, in my nearby booths at the convention, some of their hardcovers are running as high as 40 and 50 bucks a pop. And, you know, ours are 30 a pop, you know? And that's pretty big money when, you know, a lot of people are just looking for, you know, $5 comic books or whatever. But you're absolutely right in what you said. And I found the same thing. I found that when people buy these things, the hardcovers especially, whether it's through conventions or through the Kickstarters or whatever, they are not for sale on the secondary market. I mean, you look for these things on the secondary market, they just aren't there. I mean, you look on eBay, you look on Etsy, you look on some of these sites, even Amazon Marketplace. I did see a couple of, I think they were the soft covers of Genesis. There's a couple of those on the Amazon Marketplace. But that's because those are like probably like ex-library copies or something. I mean, it's not people's personal copies, right? Mm-hmm. And it's true that they just aren't out there. People buy them and then they keep them. They hold on to them. And it's amazing. And the same thing is true with what, you know, you just said about, you know, Star Power and Garth Graham. And another one I noticed that's like that is Jason Brubaker. He did the Cythra series. Mm-hmm. Good luck trying to find some of those hardcovers. I mean, some of them are available. There are a few that are hanging. Like he had big print runs of, I think, 3 and 4, but 5 and 6 are scarce. I mean, there's like no way to get those. They're out there, but he signed and numbered them individually or something. So, I mean, those are collectibles and people are hanging on to them. And every now and then you can find a copy or two of his 1 and 2 out there on Amazon or eBay. They're out there, but I'm telling you, it is hard. And fortunately, we've still got plenty of stock of the Genesis and Evolution hardcovers, and we'll have plenty of the Alliance hardcovers as well. But you're right. You're absolutely right in your observation that I have also looked for the Astral hardcovers, and I can't find any on the secondary market. Nobody's selling them. And these other ones, Star Power and Cythra, too. And I would imagine it's probably that way for Ron Randall's. The other title that I don't see a lot, every now and then one pops up, is the hardcovers of like Section Zero. That's Carl Kessel, I think. Mm-hmm. Those are tough to find too on the secondary market. Oh, so yeah. When they do the Kickstarters, it's good to grab them up. A lot of times they will have this, they always print some surplus, so they'll have the surplus available through their websites. But you're absolutely right, when they sell out, they're gone, and they would have to do another print run. And before they're going to do that and spend whatever, $15,000, $20,000 on a print run, they got to make sure that they can move what, at least 25 to 30 or 40% of that volume before they can, you know, print them.
Ugh. Well, I'm glad you ordered ahead of time because I have a little money coming my way. I'm going to order those. I'll get those the hardcovers, and I'll make sure I get the third one too because I want to have these in hardcover because I have a bookcase, and in there are many of my hardcovers that I got. I there's some books I've gotten, like Rust is one of my big favorite books, just a terrific series. Video Game Guy made it, and it's astonishingly good. That's how good it is, and I can tell you stories about that. But anyway, the thing that's important for me is I want to be able to have the good copies of that, especially when I come across. Sometimes I buy a trade. If I'm not exactly sure, I'll go in and get the trade. And then if I really get to like it, then I'll go back and get the hardcover. And that has done me wrong times, shall I say.
Sure.
So I'm glad you still have it. I'm grateful that you were the you know, had enough foresight to be able to order a goodly amount, so you still got them. So I'm going to snap those up, I think, in the next couple of days as soon as I get some money coming my way. So I'll get that on. But as far as these things go, I think you've done a lot of this stuff smartly, just like with the hardcovers. I think that you have, when I see you at cons and stuff like that, you're very well organized. You got lots of good product. And, you know, your presentation, I think, is always good too. I think that's a great thing about it. And I can see you doing, see, if you get 9 graphic novels, then you're getting into like Dresden Files, territory, where, you know, what I have to do is I have to make sure I keep up with it because I don't want to get behind. And with the Dresden Files, I listen to audiobooks for those because I like James Marsters the way he does. I don't know, you know, the Dresden Files, that's Butcher, I think, is the name of the writer.
Yes,
and he does occasional comics, but very rarely now. But his audiobooks I enjoy so much because of Marsters. Marsters does a beautiful job of giving voices to all the various characters. But I have to stay up with that because if I get too far behind, it's going to take me so long because it takes like, I don't know how many hours to listen to an audiobook. And I when I get behind like that, I've got to work on that. So what I have to do with something I really want, I have to keep current. So that's why I'm taking note when you're saying when the next Kickstarter is going to be, because I want to make sure I keep up with all these good things so I don't get behind. Oh, I hate being behind. So that's one of the things about do that. Now, in order to keep up with that good stuff, do you have like a mailing list that you have for people to sign up for? Or sure. How do you keep people informed about your stuff?
So that's kind of the beauty of it. So anyone who downloads a free copy of Astral Genesis is on the list. So you'll continue to get updates about our current and future projects, and including when the next Kickstarters are coming and any specials that we may be having, and kind of an inside look into the development of the series. And of course, I write all the emails personally. So I don't have like a staff member who writes it or anything. It's a personal and direct update email from myself. And I don't over spam people or anything like that. I send a communication about around once a month, you know, just to kind of keep people up on what we're doing, how we're doing it. And of course, you I'm sure you well know that anybody that pledges, you know, for a Kickstarter, so you know, you got your email list that's going, you know, to your fans, you know, that are on your email list going directly to their email addresses. But anyone who has pledged, you know, any kind of a Kickstarter knows that if you've got that option enabled to receive, you know, Kickstarter updates through your email, that you'll get Kickstarter updates. And so I publish those as well. So if you're on my email list, then you're getting my production updates. And if you've pledged an Astral graphic novel project, of which we've had 3 now, you're probably also getting the Kickstarter updates and the progress on those projects. So that's kind of 2 ways to keep mm-hmm. in the loop on it.
Now, in case somebody has the books and they got a little extra money to spend, I noticed on your site that you have other products that you can buy from Astral. You can get posters, there's magnets, there's stickers, and there's bookmarks that you can get. So never feel like you've completely caught up with the Astral stuff. You can, if you get a little extra money, say your birthday comes and you get these days a lot of people give the plastic gifts. If you get a plastic card with a little extra money on it, you can always go to your Pet Piranha website and be able to get a little more Astral stuff to add to your collection.
Yeah, certainly. So we've got all that. And of course, all of that good fun stuff, you know, the good fun swag, it's really there in support of the books. And of course, I bring most of that stuff, at least a good quantity of it, to the conventions. So if you ever encounter me at one of the conventions, I'll have a little bit of everything there, and you can kind of take a look at it. I feel like, you know, from what I've experienced at the conventions, people like to, and it's okay. I mean, I'm totally fine with this. People like to hold stuff in their hands, touch it, and it's all good. I mean, and you should, because the stuff that we make, whether it's bookmarks, stickers, magnets, whatever, I always make sure that we produce that stuff with the highest quality materials possible. So it always feels good, you know, in hand. And one of the tell you, one of the most popular items that we have is holographic sparkle bookmarks. And those are the ones that when you hold them under incandescent light, they've got like a little holographic sparkling going on too. Those are really cool. So I've got a few of those different styles and I bring those, and those usually get snapped up pretty quickly at the conventions. But it's all fun. And you know, again, at the conventions, you can pick up the books, you can hold the books in your hand. And that's one thing about the hardcovers is, and we make it all with high quality, but the hardcovers especially have a really good feel in hand. So, you know, you get that nice quality, heavier cover stock and heavier paper stock feel in your hand, and it feels really good. But yeah, no, the stickers, bookmarks, magnets, it's all fun stuff. It all supports the books. And sure, yeah, absolutely. If you're checking out on the website, you can certainly opt for the bookmarks. Most of those are cheap. They're like a buck or two for the bookmarks. And every now and then we have specials on them too, so you can get a bookmark free or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So good stuff. Now, you mentioned you're going to be finishing up the third volume in the first first third of next year or this year now, 2021. How is that? You're looking at maybe March or something?
So yeah, it's just about done even right now. I mean, all of the pages have been penciled, and it's a matter of just finishing off the inks, the colors, and plopping some lettering on them. In fact, right now, as we're talking, the book's pages are finished, and we got the covers finished too. So all the covers are done, all the back matter, the bonus pages, all that stuff's all already done. So you're just talking about wrapping up some of the art and a little bit of the lettering. I believe we're up to around page 80 is 100% complete in terms of, you know, all four steps and then plopping the lettering on. So we're just about there. And of course, the easiest thing and the fastest thing to put together, obviously, is the digital editions, right? Because you don't have any problems with distribution. You don't have to go into a printing queue or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So as soon as the books are put together, and of course, they have to go through quality proofing process, which takes a little time. That's where you look for, you know, little problems and stuff. So mm-hmm. You've got to get through. My quality control is very stringent and strict, I'll tell you that. So I spend a lot of time proofing these things. But I would expect we'll have the digital edition, because it's the fastest to produce. We'll have those out in Q1, I'm expecting, and I'm expecting the printed books probably sometime in Q2. So, I mean, if I had to take a guess, I'd say probably something like February or March 2021, you're looking at the digital editions becoming available, and then probably something like June or July at the latest, you're looking at print copies.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause I usually order digital, and that may be what I did here, but when I really like something, then I go for the hardcover. Sure. That's what I like to do.
So yeah, and I mean, the only reason it takes a little bit more time to put the printed books together is because obviously you have the printing process, and if you are going to do the printing overseas, which, you know, again, with the tariffs that are in place, I'm not sure whether we'll go domestic or, you know, go overseas for the printing yet, but you have to assume you'll go overseas. And so when you're talking about overseas, you got to build that timetable in. So you're usually talking about a couple of months to get it printed overseas. And then you have all the logistics that has to be shipped. And then you've got, you know, from port to your town, and then you got last mile shipping to your facility and all that good stuff. And then of course, once you get the boxes of books, you gotta, what do? You gotta unpack everything, right? You gotta check it. So that's extra time. And then once you've pulled out a few copies and you're satisfied everything's good, then you have to rewrap them, because now you're going to start shipping copies out. So that's just because of all the extra steps that are involved, the print copies always take a little bit longer to come out. But yeah, digital, it's easy, because if you're sending somebody a download link, bam, you're done. There's nothing to it, right? Just a matter of hosting it.
That's right. Yeah, that's the thing, because and you know, people who aren't involved with the process don't understand all that. They kind of think it just magically appears, and it's just, you know, hey, where's my book? Why isn't it here? Well, yeah, you laugh, because you know, you've obviously obviously somebody has done that to you, because we've often, you know, because I help out with Stabity Bunny, and sometimes people come to us and say, what's taking so long? I said, well, you see, you got this and you got that. Have you ever done any work in the printing process? No. Well, I got to sit there and explain how this all takes time, and it takes money, and it takes, you know, all this stuff. This is why I cherish good stuff, because like when I see your stuff, the art is honestly really great. It's some of the best indie art out there. I think it's just terrific.
Appreciate it.
You know, the whole concept is good. Everything really works together really nicely. That's why I want to have hardcovers of these. And I just, you know, sometimes I like the indie. When indie people can make a terrific product, I value that more than, let's say, you know, Marvel or somebody, because I expect them to do that. But indie people have to kind of go the extra mile and work harder to get it there. And so I have to admire and respect like the stuff that you do, Jake, because it's just, I think it's just, it's high quality stuff. Sometimes I get a chance as a podcaster, I get sent stuff to review and see if somebody wants to be on the podcast or stuff. Not everything I get is up to your standards, shall we say. I don't know if you've ever seen some indie books. I look at some indie books and gasp, oh my gosh, you really want to talk about this? There was a guy we ran into who was down in Miami, and he was down there, and he had handwritten the story and done the art and everything in pencil, and he Xeroxed it. And he was selling them for a dollar each, and I looked at it, and I couldn't tell which was the up and which was the bottom, the way it was done. And I said to him, I said, you know, you really ought to look into some more of this, you know, because there's you know, readability is a big deal. And he looked at me kind of puzzled, and I was like, well, yeah, because see, your stuff is all, I mean, it compares to the stuff that. Favorably, shall we say, to like Marvel, DC, Image, all those things. I mean, when a lot of people look at it, they think, man, this is a pro. These are pro people doing these things because it's so nicely done. And not every indie book is that way.
Well, yeah. And I mean, it absolutely is. That was kind of the whole point when I spun up this Astral series of graphic novels, was to do it as professionally as possible. And I mean, you just said it. I mean, we do have a team of professionals. I should say we're lucky enough to be able to have a team of professionals working on it. Ariel Medell, who does the pencils for all, he has done the pencils for all the Astral books up to this point, even through Alliance. He's done work for Dynamite and Marvel, right? And some of the other guys that work on our stuff, like, for example, on Alliance, we're working with Rudy Sukipto. He's in Indonesia. He's doing the inks, and he's also done work for Xenoscope and some of these other mainstream type shops and titles. And the same thing for our colorist on Alliance. That's Rovel Umil, and I believe he's also based in or around Indonesia, but same thing. I mean, you know, it's a global thing. The bigger shops, Marvel and DC, you know, a lot of their artists are in the States, but they're increasingly going international to get these professional artists. And you really do get top talent, and you're absolutely right. And I'm very thankful and grateful to all of my artists that have worked on all of my Astral books. And I agree with you. I think, you know, you should try to, you know, so each different phase of what you're working on should try to do that professionally. And so obviously the storytelling and the writing, you know, I'm a writer. I've been writing for decades, right? Different things, but you get a lot of experience. So, you know, my talent is writing. So I'm the professional in writing. We have another professional that we work with, who has his own studio, Visionary Creative Services, Visionary Comics, C. Edward Seldner. He runs that shop. He's a great editor and a great partner, helps to manage the art as well. And then those folks I just mentioned, Ariel and the other folks doing the pencils, inks, and colors, they are each very professional at what they do. And it's bringing everybody together, and it's coordinating everything. And there's a lot of effort there to coordinate and make sure, you know, that pipeline keeps running. But we strive for perfection. And that's why I say, you know, just because we put something together, we finished it, like, okay, we're going to put Astral Alliance together. Our production guy, Jacob Baskell, right? He's also a professional graphic designer. So he's done professional lettering for some of the IDW books. And I believe he did the Transformers Bumblebee tie-in for that movie. Mm-hmm. I believe he did the lettering on that book. So again, very professional stuff. Mm-hmm. And but it's not enough that he just puts it together. I mean, he puts everything together, looks great, but then we go into like, you know, whatever, 4 week, 6 week, 8 week, whatever it takes, you know, quality control process to make sure, read that thing cover to cover, check it, make sure everything's done right. All the punctuation's right. All the words are spelled right. There's no spell check, right? So you gotta, make sure everything's, you gotta make sure you're in your word balloons that the proper words that need emphasis, you know, have them. And of course, Astral has an added level of complexity. I don't know if you remember from when you read Genesis or not, but I actually created a language for the Astrals. It's an alien language that has its own glyphs, right? We call them astroglyphs. And so they have the language. It's a real language. It has its own vocabulary and syntax. And, you know, when you were back in English class and the teacher was like, okay, now we're going to have fun conjugating verbs. And you go, you know, I can't imagine when I would ever use this in my life. And here I am conjugating verbs in this astral language, because you have to have, you know, the different conjugations of the verbs to make the language work, right? And you got to have a basic syntax and vocabulary. So it's real, it works. And so not only do I have to proofread and, you know, proof everything in English and make sure that the artwork's tied up properly, I have to then switch gears and I have to proofread and proof the alien language as well. So it's just that added layer of realism. And I should say that's one of the bonuses. It's fun stuff. I have a lot of fun doing it. Creating a language is awesome. I would actually recommend that to everyone. You learn so much by doing that. And so one of the supplements that I gave away as part of the Kickstarter for Alliance was an astroglyph guide that's a key and a guide to understanding the language and how that works. So that's one of those things where I did all that work to make up the language, and now, you know, I can easily put that into, you know, like a PDF document, and now I mean, you don't have to have it, obviously, but it's just it gives the world of Astral that much more richness. If you've got that supplement, you can learn all about how the language works. And if you really want to, I think there's enough in there that you can learn how to, you know, read it yourself if you really want to read what the characters are saying. Now, obviously, that said, we don't overdo it. You know, you don't want to overdo it because most people aren't going to take the effort to do that. But if you want to get that deep into Astral, you absolutely can learn that language, and you can read the bubbles with the alien language in it, and you can see what the characters are saying to one another. And I think we've even got that in one of the appendices or one of the chapters of that guide is, oh, on this page of this book, you know, here's what the bubble is, here's what's in it, here's what he's saying, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of fun. Yeah. Really enjoyed doing that.
Well, see, that adds something fun to, because science fiction people love that kind of stuff. I know. Mark Okrand, who created the Klingon language and stuff like that, he, you know, he talks about how – I've heard him talk about how wonderful and how much he enjoyed creating, you know, the guttural sounds of the Klingons and stuff like that. And you really enjoy those things when you spend all this time and make it happen. And I think it comes through in the book. You know, I think people, when they get that chance and opportunity, there's a lot of people who will sit down and say, you know what, I want to understand this. They have Klingon schools, for heaven's sakes, where people go and learn how to speak Klingon exactly the way they're supposed to and stuff. So there's a lot of people out there who love these things. And I think all that love comes through in the book. I think it just really does shine. And the Astral series. So it's really good
stuff. Yeah, and I would say the same thing for every one of our creators that's worked on it. I think their love for the series comes across as well in the artwork and the inking and the coloring and the lettering. I mean, it's all done very meticulously. And I think that's one of the reasons why the books do win so many of these awards, you know, when they go out for it. And, you know, we'll see how Alliance does in another year or so. But I would think we'll probably pick up some more with Alliance. But I'm just so eternally grateful to all of the creators that have contributed so much to Genesis and Evolution and now to Alliance, and looking forward to, you know, continuing to work with them as we move into Astral Vengeance. And speaking of that, maybe we should talk about what the cons look like for 2021. I've got a few cons booked, but I know people are wondering what's going to happen. And I guess the quick answer to that between you and me, Wayne, is, well, we just don't really know. I know some of them are planning on putting them on, but I will tell you from what I've heard from the con organizers, and I'll first tell you, in January 2021, I'm booked at DeLand, which is like, I think it's the 17th, whatever the third Sunday is, right before Martin Luther King Day. It's a one-day show. And then in March, I've got InfinityCon Lake City booked, and I want to say CollectiveCon Jacksonville is moving back to March as well, but I'll have to check the dates on that. They pushed it to July last year. It was supposed to be March, then they pushed it to July because of the COVID, right. And then they held more of a limited event. But I'll tell you, from the organizers, what I've learned is they're still planning on it. From what I understand, these cons are still moving forward at this point in time. But I have also heard from them that if something happens, like if there's some kind of huge resurgence in this bug or whatever it is that's going around, if they have to somehow, for whatever reason, cancel or move it again, you know, all options are on the table. So as far as we know, they're going ahead with the dates that they've broadcast. But there's always that contingency that anything could change, probably up until even a week before the event. So I would just say the best thing for people to do is just keep checking back with the websites and the notifications. Keep up to date, because that's where they'll post it. They'll email you or they'll post it on their website. But yeah, I know several cons in Florida, which is where I am, are planning on going ahead, although COVID protocols will be in place, you know, whatever that means. I assume masks and hand sanitizer, et cetera, that kind of thing. But personally, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, even if we have to go through all that, it would be great to just see people again, you know?
Yeah.
See the fans, you know?
Well, here in Florida, they had two cons on the same weekend, a weekend or two ago. They had Spooky Empire ran one on the same weekend, Infinity Toy and Comic Con ran.
Yeah,
they were only like 20 miles away from each other, and you know, I don't know if that split the group. They didn't quite get a big turnout, but you know what? They were able to do it, and I think that was. I think people, like people in January up through March and stuff, are going to be. Everybody's going to be looking, saying, "How to go?" And I think that those people are going to kind of be the guinea pigs for the rest of the con.
Sure, and I agree. I think you have to get started somewhere, right? You got to start somewhere, see how it goes. And then I think, you know, depending on what happens with the bug going around and depending on what happens at the conventions, what they find is they have more success with, and the things that they find they have less success with, they'll adjust probably going forward. But I do see the cons coming back in 2021, which I think is a good thing. I think a lot of them were canceled or held in a very limited way in 2020, at least from what I'm aware of. Didn't they do, wasn't San Diego held virtually? I think it was.
Last yes. year, right? Yeah. So, online, these online cons. I don't think people are going to do them anymore. I don't think they get the response that they were hoping for.
Well, that, and you know, I think honestly, it's going to be easier for the smaller conventions to come back than it is the San Diego's because of yes. the amount of people. So, and I personally, I like the smaller conventions better. I think it's more of a chance to be, you know, one-on-one with people. I enjoy the personal touch. So yeah, and most of the cons, I mean, the vast majority of them in Florida, with the exception of maybe MegaCon, are small to medium size. So I can see those physical cons coming back. Not so much maybe the MegaCons right away or the San Diego's right away. What do you think?
I think, but there's so much money involved with New York and San Diego and C2E2 and things like that. I think they're going to at least make an attempt. So, I mean, if somebody loses mountains of money, if they try to do that, then I think the rest of them will say, well, no, we can't do that. But I think the early ones are probably going to do their best to make that happen, because I heard so much bad about it. And I went to a couple of the virtual cons and stuff. It was fine, but it's not the same thing. It's like watching a movie or something.
Yeah.
I just didn't get the same, you know, thing. And the thing was, if you wanted to buy stuff, you just were directed to the people's website.
Right. You know, it's just, I think what you're saying kind of essentially is that you kind of lose that personal touch. And although, you know, I've seen even people that do that and they say, oh yeah, you know, go to my website. And, oh, by the way, you know, if you want your copy signed or whatever, yeah, we're happy to sign it. Sure. We'll sign your copy for you. Just tell us what you want on it. You know, whatever your name or to so-and-so. And they've been really good about that. But even that, you know, I agree. It's not the same thing as having the person right in front of you and sign the thing and they can take it home, you know?
Yeah. If you got to wear a mask, it's still, you're there with the person. I think that makes a big deal.
Yeah. And speaking of that, I mean, you know, for the conventions that have the whatever celebrity guests or whatever, you know, And how do you manage that? I mean, they're talking about for doing the photo ops, you're going to have plexiglass between you and the, it's like, and then same thing at the signing tables, you have to stand whatever, 6 feet, 9 feet away. The intermediary hands your stuff to the person. Again, I'm not so jazzed about stuff like that, honestly. I mean, you know, to be honest, most of those guys before the bug came with the celebrities, that I've encountered at those conventions, they wanted to interact with you up close and personal. And I think it's as disappointing for them as it is for you not to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's say you're a TV actor or something like that, and you're always on a set and, you know, you don't get the reaction. And even when you see a TV show on your TV, it's not the same. You don't get the response. And, you know, actors love to get response. And so, you know, and same thing with creators. I mean, you make these books and, you know, when people can run up to you and say, oh my gosh, J.M. DeMatteis, happened to be at a booth next to him. And the whole weekend at the Cincinnati Con, people were running up to him saying, oh my gosh, you know, it's years later, we still love your Justice League. And this, that, and the other, and all. And the whole weekend he did. And then when the thing got over, I had to run up to him and say, it's my turn. I loved your Justice League, you know, stuff. And he just says, he says, I love these conventions. He goes, and it's because, you know, things like that goes on. It gives them that response that gives them the feeling to keep going.
Sure. And
I think it's just, you know, we're missing that. I know so many creators who are just chomping at the bit to get back to conventions. And I think we're going to see a real movement to try to make that happen again. I really do.
Yeah, I agree. I think we'll eventually get back to that. I think it's maybe just a matter of time, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Now, if people want to know which conventions you're going to, I mean, what's the best way to find that out?
Right. So that's, again, back to the website. So astrogenesis.com. And then one of the menu options there is appearances. If you click on that option, you'll see all of the conventions so far that I've been booked for this year, which, again, I think is just the three at this point. I'm not opposed to booking more. But honestly, I haven't really heard from anybody else yet. So I guess maybe some of the other folks are taking a wait and see approach. You know, we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, there's an appearances menu item, and you click on that, and that's
good. Now, what about social media and stuff like that? How should people do that? You prefer them go to your website or?
I mean, website's probably the best way to get in touch with me, I'm also on Twitter as well. So that's at J Magnum, and then PETPIR, Pet Piranha, Pet Purr. And then, of course, my email is really difficult. I'm sure you're going to have a really hard time with it, but it's jmagnum@petpiranhaentertainment.com. So anybody that wants to email me, any questions like that, you know, I always respond to emails as soon as I can get to them. So, and that's, you know, we talk a lot about Astral, but my company is Pet Piranha Entertainment. So that's why we talk about Pet Piranha. Mm-hmm. So it's all
so
there.
Is Astral going to keep you busy for a while as far as projects go? Is that going to be what you're doing for a while, or are there other projects you're on?
No, well, for the most part, yeah. I mean, I may be working a couple of side projects, editing, writing. And like you said, you edit as well. I may be taking on some editing projects, some one-offs, maybe some independents as well. But yeah, right now my main focus is on Astral, outlining, story plotting, and then of course writing the scripts that are used by the art team to produce the art for the books, and then, you know, everything that goes along with shepherding the process and proofing it, and kind of one man show when it comes to getting everything done, including the fulfillment, like for the printing. So I manage all that stuff myself, so you can imagine that it takes up a lion's share of my time, but every now and then there are some slow periods. And so when that happens, I try to sneak in an independent writing or editing gig here or there. And that's kind of my forte is writing and editing.
Mm-hmm. And those are on your website as well?
Well, so if I get into any of that, and if I'm allowed to, you're not always allowed to, you know, sometimes these are secret projects, but yeah, anything that I would be involved in relating to that would be on my website as well. There's like a biography or a bibliography page for me. If you click on that, you'll be able to see all the projects that I am involved in now and was involved in whatever capacity in the past as well.
Well, you're a busy guy, and it shows, and it shows well, because the Astral series is a great series, a wonderful series of books. I highly recommend it. If after listening to this, you haven't stop to go and get that. Buy the books because they're definitely worth it. I mean, whatever format you want, I think that I don't think Jay here would argue with any of them, but I'm after the hardcovers myself. So I think we'll get on to that. But, you know, Jay, you do such good stuff, and I cannot wait to get those hardcovers. I'll put them, I have a place right on my shelf that's just saved for that.
Reserve and space.
That's right. Looking for astral stuff.
I mean, that's what we'd like to hear.
Yeah, so, well, Jay, all I can say is, just, as always, keep it up. You're doing wonderful stuff, and I can't wait to get the next book. And then we'll have to talk again when the Kickstarter comes around, or maybe when the next book comes out, so people can know about that.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to. And once again, I want to thank you for having me on the podcast once again, and to thank your listeners for their contributions and for their fandom as well. I love reaching out to people. So thank you for having me on this platform and allowing me to do that and connect a little bit more with our friends and fans out there. It's been a great experience. It always is. And yeah, I'd love to come back. Yeah, we'll definitely set it up.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's it for this week. Be back next time. We'll have another great interview with another terrific comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.